Hey, if you have a Bible, I'd like you to turn to the Gospel of John. We're going to be in the 14th chapter. We have been studying through the Gospel of John now for over 8 months. And as we have, we find ourselves in the middle of chapter 14. Now, your bulletin, if you haven't figured it out yet, your bulletin cover changes every single week in some way relating to the message. I think graphically. And so pretty much I'll have Photoshop or Illustrator open while I'm also have my Bible study software open, because that's just how I think. And as a certain thought comes, certain images pop into my head. So what you have in your bulletin is a radio stack between the front seats of a police cruiser. Maybe some of you have seen this from the back seat. I'm not asking. My brother's a police officer in New York. And so he's all about it. You know, man, when my brother, his name is Jay, if you ever get to meet him, he's a really cool guy. Jay, you just kind of knew he was going in that direction, because when he was in high school, he was the kid with the scanner. He was the kid with the police scanner. And we'd be at home and the police scanner's turned on. And he's just listening to stuff, and he knew all the 10 codes, and he's like, oh, robbery happening here, this thing's happening there. He then went and went to criminal justice at college, and he ended up volunteering for the police department. And then he decided to join the force, and he got on. So that's what my brother does. You know, when my brother's got his whole deal, his whole setup going on, he's got the microphone right here, you know, clipped onto his lapel. And you've seen this with a police officer. You know what it is at that moment where they lean their head over and they do this. You know that they're making a call on the radio. Now, for some of you, you run at that point. Because maybe it's a guilty conscience. Who knows what it is? I don't know. You just wonder what they're doing. My brother, you know, early on as I was growing up, he would tell me about the 10 codes and all that stuff. And I guess the 10 codes can vary from location to location. But I remember one time he was like, oh, 1013, 1013. I'm like, what's 1013? 1013 in New York anyway is police officer request assistance. And so he'd listen in on the scanner and be like, oh, they need assistance on this one. Oh, this could, who knows what this could be? But he's calling, what he's doing is he's calling for backup at this point. And I know that my brother, through his time there in law enforcement, he's also had to make the 1013 call. Need backup. This is bigger than I am, and I need a little bit of help right now. And it's a public call. It's not a private one. It's not a secret one. It's very public. You ever have a moment in your life where you realize that you needed a call for backup? You realize the situation was bigger than you? It was beyond your control? I asked my wife this morning, because for whatever reason, I was drawing a blank in my own life of moments where I've needed to ask for help. That's probably bad, right? I just had a mental block. And so I said, hey, Don, so could you think of a time when I needed to call for backup? And she said, every day? That's what she said. And I said, more specifically than that. And so she started to think, and she said, you remember the time when? All right, so here it is. I'm in college. Don and I had off and on again dated for years and years and years. And I think at this time, I don't know if we were dating. We weren't dating, no. We weren't dating at this time. And I got up in the morning, and I kind of had this, craving. You ever wake up with just a craving for something? I could just taste it on my lips. I'm like, And that flavor, that taste, was a Wendy's Frosty. I woke up with that taste. And I thought, I got to have a Wendy's Frosty. And I was in college, so, you know, I was waking up early, about 10:30 at that time. And so, oh, you know what I'm talking about. Don't even start with that. So then, I'm like, okay, Wendy's is open. Their Frosty machine is running. And so I was so excited, I just jumped in my truck and I went off and got my Frosty. Then I'm driving around with my Frosty in hand, just sipping away. I'm just having a great time, like, yes. And then I was like, you know, I'm going to drive by and see what Don's doing. But here's the thing. I was driving by and then I thought, no, I don't know. Would that be too weird just to stop by? She's house-sitting at this place and I don't know, just to show up. And I was like, so I did the drive by. Frosty in hand. And then I went to go turn around. Well, this is in Arizona. All the roads aren't paved. And it had just snowed. And so I went to go turn around. My two-wheel drive truck, there's nothing in the back. It's light in the back, so the wheels are now spinning. And I'm stuck. The problem is I tried to make a turn around, and I'm like, I was halfway in the road, sideways in this dirt road, and the truck is like inches away from this huge bush. And I'm going, I'm stuck. And I tried rocking the vehicle back and forth and all that other stuff. And I just thought, no! And I realized I need to ask for help right now. See, because I had just passed the house that Don was house-sitting at. Now, here's a couple problems. One, I was so excited to get my Frosty that I was still wearing shorts. And no shoes. Because I had to get out there. You know, this is a drive-thru. They don't check if you have shoes on, right? So there I am. And so, ding-dong. Don opens the door, and there I'm standing. Frosty in hand. Shorts, no shoes, snow on the ground. Hair's probably crazy. And I'm like, hey, good morning. Afternoon, whatever. Hi. She's all... I'm like, hey, do you have like a tow cable or something? And she's all, what? So I had to call for backup. She did help me get the truck out. This is my wife's method on getting a truck out, by the way. She sat in it and she's like, she put it in drive and drove over the bush, through the bush and around. Yeah. I didn't expect applause actually at that point in my story. I got some Arizona pinstriping on the side of my vehicle as she drove through, and she got it out. She goes, there, fixed it. I'm like, yes, you did. Yes, you did. I think inside my mind, I'm like, I love you. I think that was, you know, the rest is history. Hey, John chapter 14, you know, this idea of backup. Are we going to talk about a Bible study? Absolutely. Absolutely. That was just, by the way, that was just one story. Don was like, oh, and then there was this time, and then I said, stop. Just need one example this morning. That's all I need. You know, Jesus is going to call for backup. What? Yes. Yes. In this chapter in John 14, Jesus is calling for backup. He puts out the 10:13 call, and he's requesting backup. Wait, for who? For what? How? What's the details? We're going to get to that. But I want us to remember what happened last week. Last week, he said that there is no way that a person can come to know who God is unless they come through him. That Jesus is the only way. And the thing is, well, I have an issue with that, you may say. Well, then you have an issue with what Jesus said, because it's right there in John chapter 14. He makes it very exclusive. And in that exclusivity is simplicity. Which of the 300 ways could it possibly be? Jesus says, really simple. There's just one way. Just one way. I don't want you to spend your life trying to go through 300, 400, 5,000 possibilities. I just want you to tell you there's one way, and if you really want it, this is the door you go through. There is only one door. Last week we realized that Jesus also said that if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. We talked about what asking in Jesus' name is, because you ask sacrificially. You ask with a heart of what the Lord would do, so you're not there going, oh, I just want something for me. It's all about me. Oh, I'm going to, because some people will look at that and go, oh, you ask anything that you want and God will give it to you. That's not what it says. If you ask anything, verse 14, in my name, I will do it. Well, you're praying along the lines of what God wants. You're praying along the lines of his word. And we talked about the importance of people knowing his word. There is an epidemic of Christians who don't know the word of God. So how can you pray in Jesus' name if you don't know where he stands on things? So that's what we were talking about last week. I want you to know this too, and I didn't say this last week, but I think it's very important. There was somebody that was missing from the room before Jesus said all the things in John 14, and that person was Judas. Because the things that Jesus was saying did not apply to Judas. Because Judas had chosen to have no part with Jesus. I want you to know this, all this stuff that he's talking about. There's one way to me. There's, you know, I am the way. You can ask anything in my name, and God will do these things for you. And now we're going to talk about the power. How are we going to have the power to do the things that God wants us to do? Judas wasn't in on this conversation because this conversation did not apply to him. Jesus is talking to those who have made a commitment to follow after him. It's a very specific audience, and I want you to know that. The timing is not accidental here. So let's pray, and we'll start in verse 15. Lord, we come before you, and I thank you for the truth of your word, and I thank you, Lord, that we see again, Jesus, we see your own words spoken here. It's not hearsay. It's not secondhand. God, it's you speaking directly and it being written down. I thank you, Lord, that you're not ambiguous. You're not vague. You make things very clear, and then you bring us to that point where we must choose. So, Lord, again, I just pray for your clarity, And Holy Spirit, I ask you for your help, because what's before me, the task before me, is greater than me. And so I need you to do the work through me. Hold the words back from my mouth that are not necessary or beneficial. And Lord, let me speak the words that are necessary and helpful, the ones that we need to hear, that I need to hear. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's read some verses. John chapter 14, verse 15 is where we start. Jesus speaking, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." So Jesus, right here, says something, again, very clear. You want to show your love for me? Then what I need you to do is to do what I've told you to do. Jesus doesn't leave room for a person to say, "I love God, but I'm not doing these things that I know he wants me to do. But I totally love him." Jesus would totally disagree with your statement. You cannot actively go, "Okay, I know this isn't right, and I choose to, and I love God." Jesus says, "If you love me," conditional statement, "if, then you will keep my commandments." At that point, we just go, whew, because all of us have fallen short. All of us have. That one sentence right there, we could just go, okay, and we need to pray for each one of us right here on that one point right there. I think it's great when we say we love somebody. For my wife, I love my wife. And I could just say, "I love my wife, I love my wife, I love my wife." But what if my actions don't follow up with my words that I love my wife? Then at the very least, you're going to question whether I love my wife. But maybe there's even a greater problem there, that I'm just saying it as if words are substitutes for actions. Words are not substitutes for action. If we love God, then it must also come out. Wait, Jim, what about the sentiment? What about the feeling? Feeling is important. And I do pray that you have those feelings of love for the Lord, where you just go, "God, I just love you. God, you're so good to me. You take care of me." I do pray that you have those feelings. But understand that there'll be times where your feelings just aren't there. Well, what do you do when those feelings aren't there? And because when the feelings are there, it's easy to do what God wants you to do. It's a lot easier. What happens when you don't have the feelings there? You still need to do what God has told you to do. Well, is this a unique thing with Jesus? No. Again, if I use a marriage, if I just said I love you all the time, but I never showed the actions, do you really love your wife, Jim? Do you really care for her? Are you just saying it? Is it just talk? If we don't keep Jesus' commands and we say we love him, our actions demonstrate that we don't love him. How much pull does God's word have on your life? I mean, you know, if you read it and you look at it and you clearly see something, you go, "Wow, that one right there." Maybe it was last week when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And you came with the idea of, there's many ways to God. And then you read what it says. At that point, you have a decision to make. Either there are many ways to God, and Jesus is a total liar, or there's just one way to God, and Jesus is telling the truth. And we come to this point of decision. What do you do when you see truth in front of you? Do you recognize it for truth? And when you recognize it for truth, do you do it? There's this pull in our lives, this pull to do what we want to do. And there's what the Lord wants us to do. And when those things are two separate things, and we go, "This is what I want, this is what God wants," how often do you go, "I will scrap my plans and do what God wants"? Jesus says that that is a demonstration of our love for him. When we say, "God, not my will, but your will be done. God, not what I want, but what you want is what I'll do." Jesus says this, and then Jesus puts out the 10:13 call, the call for assistance. It's right there, and it's in verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus called for assistance, but not for himself. Jesus did a call for backup for us. Jesus had just told his disciples, I'm leaving and I'm going to go away. And at that point they're going, you're leaving us? You're going to leave us? And Jesus knew that the stuff that was ahead of them, the things that they were going to have to deal with, were too much for them. The things that were right in front of them in their future, if they had no backup, they were going to get destroyed. So Jesus, knowing what we need before we even know it, he calls for backup and says, God the Father, they're going to need help. And who shows up? The Holy Spirit shows up. The Holy Spirit. Okay, now for some of you at this point, like, it's all weird at this point. Maybe your past, I don't know what your past is. I know for me, the church I used to go to didn't talk a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. It's like there's God the Father, and we know who he is. He's God. Then there's Jesus, you know, lambs and children and all that stuff. You know, Jesus. And then there's the Holy Spirit. Who is he? We don't talk about him. Okay. He's too important not to talk about. In fact, he's so important that Jesus talks about him. Maybe you had an maybe for you, you're like, Holy Spirit, okay, this is where people start swinging off the chandeliers. Couple things. There's no chandeliers here, so if that helps you, that's a good thing. Secondly, God does things in order, and he does them properly. Our God is not a God of chaos. Okay? So the Holy Spirit, as he shows up, in a way that, understand, it's going to be beyond you, and you're going to be like, I don't totally get him. Well, he is God and we're not, so that makes sense that we don't totally get him. But he isn't going to go contrary to what Scripture says. So if anybody says, oh, it's the Holy Spirit that's doing this, that, or the other thing, it's okay for you to be, hey, could you show me, you know, in the book, could you show me in the Bible where it says that? Oh, well, that's just a thing. No, I'm sorry. Can you show me where it says that? This is what you can use for confirmation. Now, Jesus says right here, I'm calling for backup, and the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to show up on scene. He's going to show up on the scene in your life to help you. In fact, the word that Jesus uses there, at least in the ESV that I have, is helper. But maybe you may have another word there. Let's look at the Greek word for it. I'm going to put it up on the screen here. The Greek word is parakletos. Parakletos is a Greek word. And what does it mean? A person summoned to one's aid. A person who's summoned to one's aid. Some other words that could be used, and in other Bible versions, you may see a combination or a different one of these words. The Holy Spirit is a helper, an advisor, a legal defender, a mediator or advocate, an intercessor. So these are different things that word parakletos can mean. When Jesus said, I'm calling for backup, and I'm giving you all of these things. How awesome. Jesus knew then that we would need a helper, that we need help. Jesus knew that we need somebody to advise us. We need somebody to legally defend us. Legally defend us? Wait, you realize there's somebody that's accusing you all the time. The enemy just accuses you, and he wants you to fall into condemnation. Well, guess what? Jesus said, I'm leaving you a legal defender, a mediator, one to step in between, an advocate for you, an intercessor, somebody who stands in the gap there. Jesus would not give us somebody like this, would not say this person is coming on the scene if we didn't need this person. Wait, Jim, wait a second. You keep calling him a person. Yes, the Holy Spirit is not an it. It's a he. He's a person. And we're going to talk about it. I'm going to show you some verses in Scripture that talk about the Holy Spirit having an opinion, having feelings. The Holy Spirit, he's a person. Now, I want you to see this. You know, Jim, I just want to just focus on the Bible here, and the Holy Spirit just kind of weirds me out. I heard this saying here, and I want you to just listen to this, that with the Holy Spirit, it's all about balance. Because if you have the truth of God's Word, but you don't have the Holy Spirit at all, you're going to dry up. If you have the Holy Spirit, but you don't focus on the truth of God's Word, you're going to blow up. But if you have the truth of God's Word, and you trust in the Holy Spirit, we're all going to grow up. Dry up, blow up, or grow up. So we want this balance of what God's Word says and who the Holy Spirit is. So God the Father does answer that call. God hears the call for help. The Holy Spirit is going to come and help. So we talked about helper there, but I want you to see this word. The word that's in there, in your Bibles, if you look, he says, I'm going to give you, in verse 16, another helper. The word another means another of the same kind. I'm going to give you another helper of the same kind. Wait, why do we need, who's the first helper? Jesus. As Jesus was there, remember, Jesus was the one that was teaching these disciples how to pray, how to preach. He was providing for them. Jesus was showing them what forgiveness looks like. So Jesus was helping the disciples while he was here on earth. And Jesus says, I'm leaving, but I'm going to leave you another helper of the same kind. If you've been here in our John study, you've heard me say this. Jesus is God. I'm going to say something else that's equally true. The Holy Spirit is God. Jesus said, I'm leaving, but I'm going to give you another helper of the same kind. He is God. And he's going to do the things that I was doing in you. See, the Holy Spirit, after Jesus had left, the Holy Spirit was the one that teaches disciples to pray, what to say. God the Holy Spirit guides them. God the Holy Spirit speaks to them. Jesus spoke to them verbally with his mouth. The Holy Spirit speaks right to our spirit. The Holy Spirit bypasses the auditory and speaks directly to our spirit. See, if you're a Christian, what I'm saying to you right now is nothing shocking. Maybe you're connecting a few dots here, though. So when you're walking on the beach and you're going, Lord, what about this situation in my life? What about this thing in my life that's troubling me? And then you start to hear the words of God bring peace into your life. Do you know who that is? That is the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus is not physically here on this earth. And Jesus said, when I leave, I'm giving you another helper of the same kind. And he's going to help you. You ever start talking and all of a sudden just the right words come out? And then you listen to yourself and you go, that's pretty good. Where did that come from? The Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is more real than I think some of us understand him to be. He's very practical. But Jim, he doesn't have like a body. He's like a spirit. Yes, he's God. And there are parts of him that we aren't going to get. But this is the part I want you to get, is that he is there for you. He is there to help you. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a he. And the Holy Spirit has a will. Look at this. In the book of Acts, here's a couple of verses for you. In the book of Acts, this is how the Holy Spirit is described. In Acts 15:28. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us, and then to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements. So there was a situation going on. But look at that first part there. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and it seemed good to us. Oh, the Holy Spirit in us, we're agreeing with one another here. The Holy Spirit says it's good. And in our spirit, we're like, yeah, this is what the Lord wants us to do. Look at this in Acts 16:6. And they went through the region of Perga and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. The Holy Spirit will sometimes tell you, no, not this way. It even goes on in the next verse of Acts 16. And when they came up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. The Holy Spirit said no. You ever have those times in your life where you're trying to make something happen and it seems like the door is shut? And not just shut, like shut, nailed shut, 1,000-pound weight behind the door, and you're like, why is this door not open? And you sense in your spirit, you're going, this isn't the way I want you to go. Have you ever experienced that in your life? Because if you have, it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Later in that story in Acts, it's because Macedonia, this other region, was where God wanted the word to go. So how did God direct? Well, the Holy Spirit said, we're going to close a couple doors that you think are supposed to be the ones. And then you're going to scratch your head and go, well, God, if those aren't the doors, what do you have for me? And then God opens another door. Maybe that's where you're at in your life today. You're seeing closed doors before you, and you're going, why isn't this working out? Let me just say, it might be because God is behind the door closed, and he closed it. And you can push as hard as you want, you're not going to open that door. You need to pray and go, Lord, is this you that's closing this door? And if it's the Lord, go, God, you know why you're doing this. I'm going to walk away from the door, and I'm going to look around and go, God, what else do you have for me to do? The Holy Spirit has a name, too. You know, when we baptize people, you've heard this phrase, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and then the weird, mysterious third person. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He has a name. And the Holy Spirit, here's the other thing. Just like Jesus, the Holy Spirit can discern what your intentions are. See, on the outside, we can make things look really good, but inside our intentions aren't so good. God can discern our intentions. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He knows what you meant to do. He knows your motivation, both good and bad. This won't show up on the screen here, but it's the story of Ananias and Sapphira. It's in Acts chapter 5. And this couple decided to sell some property and wanted to give the money to the church. That's a great thing. There's nothing wrong with that. Here's the problem, though. When they gave the money to the church, they said that they were giving all the money that they got from selling their property. They were lying. So it looked good that they were giving money, and then they were holding a portion back for themselves. Now, here's the thing. They could have easily said, hey, we sold some property, and here's some of the money. But they made a point of saying, oh, we've given it all to you, God. The Holy Spirit can discern what is true and not true. And in Acts chapter 5, this couple hears these words. Why are you lying to the Holy Spirit? Ananias and Sapphira, why are you lying to God? God can discern. God, the Holy Spirit, knows it. Have you experienced that? You're just kind of thinking a thought through your head and you're maybe justifying yourself. Well, I was fine being angry at that person, or it's fine because I was right and they're wrong. And then you hear the voice. No, you're not. Have you ever sensed that where you go, you're right. You know who that is? That's the Holy Spirit. He's speaking. He speaks to us all the time. That's the thing. I think it's the idea of, okay, when is he going to start speaking? I think this is the thing. When will we start hearing? Because he's speaking all the time. So we had a conversation last night. There's been some challenging things in our church in the sense of just folks going through challenging times. And for me, I cannot separate myself from the challenges that the people at the church go through in this sense. I sense it. If they struggle, if they're hurting, well, I'm not going to be like, well, you know, you're hurting and God's going to take care of you. Here's a verse for you. Have a great day. Part of me is going to go, Lord, I know you got this thing, but I feel their pain. And I have prayed that God would make me more empathetic. When I was younger, let me just tell you, I wasn't as empathetic as I am now. Empathetic, feeling what another person feels. I used to be very clinical and very detached. Oh, you're going through a hard time? Yeah, that stinks. Sorry to hear that. You know, and I would just leave it at that. Now it's a little different, and there's an emotional thing that God does. Yesterday, as I was just praying, my wife has seen me this week. This week has been, hey, you doing okay? Yeah, I'm doing okay. A lot of just sitting there and staring out the window just a little bit going, Lord, what are you going to do in that person's life? Lord, what are you going to do in that marriage that's falling apart right now? Lord, would you heal this person in the hospital? Lord, would you be with these college students, some of which are already losing it in the first week? They thought that pot was going to be the answer. They thought that college was going to be the answer. Lord, for the high school kids that are already after a week going, what's the point? I cannot detach myself from the emotions that other people are going from completely. And when my heart gets heavy, I have to do something with it because it's too much to bear. It's too crushing. That's where it's like, Lord, I just need your help. And for me, the Lord and I have been having conversations all this week where it's just like, Lord, and the Holy Spirit's going, Jim, I got it under control. Thank you. I needed you to tell me that. I know that you do in my head, and I can see it in the Word. I just don't feel it right now. God, I need you to help these people. Lord, I need you to give me a peace about it as well. Maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you're getting overwhelmed with things in your life. I want you to cry out. Cry out to God. And realize that Jesus gave you a helper. Jesus gave you, Christian, a helper. Remember, we're talking about people who have chosen Christ at this point, followers of him. Let's keep reading here, though. Verse 18, John chapter 14. Jesus continues to talk to them because they're stressing out. Jesus said he's leaving, and he says, 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Jesus is trying to reassure us. Have you had those moments in your life where you just felt so alone? Where you're just like, I'm all by myself. Nobody cares about me, and I've been left alone? Jesus very clearly is speaking to your heart right there, and he's saying, I'm not going to leave you like an orphaned. I will come to you. How is Jesus going to come to me? Well, Jesus comes back to his disciples, but even better, he says, when I leave, somebody of the same kind, another person, another helper, is going to come and be with you. Paul wrote this to the church in Corinth. He said this in verse 19 and 20. He said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead. If all we had was, okay, Jesus is here, but when he dies and he never rose again from the dead, well, we're just hopeless. If Jesus never rose from the dead, then what we're doing here is pointless. If Jesus never rose from the dead, if Easter never happened, then what power are we depending on right now? Whose words are we trusting in right now? But right here, Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you alone. I will be back. And because I live, you also will live. Last week, I said that there's a sequel to this life. It's eternity. And for the believer, the sequel is better than this original movie. And you make it to the sequel. So with that peace in your heart, even the most challenging times now, you can stand on the fact that my Savior rose from the dead, therefore I will rise from the dead. Because Jesus lives, I will live. Jesus continues on here, and he begins speaking, and he says, verse 21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and make myself manifest to him. But then Judas? Yeah, verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, there was another guy, another disciple. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not the world? How are you going to show up just to us and not show up to everybody in this world? Verse 23. Jesus answered, if anybody loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. God wants to make his home with you. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. Again, Jesus describing how he is going to rise again from the dead. And Jesus describing and very clearly saying that if you abide in what I've told you, I will be with you. And you see this here, the heart of God. God wants to be a part of your life. Well, my life is a wreck right now, and the house of my heart is just a mess. He doesn't want you to clean it up before he gets there. In fact, you can't clean up your life before Jesus gets there. You have to open up your heart to him, and he comes in with all of his cool cleaning stuff, and then he cleans you up. The question is the front door unlocked and open, or is it shut and closed? These things in verse 25, I've spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, back up, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. God does not want you to have a troubled heart. He doesn't want you to have a heart full of fear. God says that this Helper, this Holy Spirit, Jesus says he will teach you things, and then he will remind you of the things that Jesus said. I wonder how many of us in here have a really bad memory with people's names, with dates. You come up and you go, what's their name? Hey, bro, dude, buddy, how you been? How you been? How are things going? Jesus says here that the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance things that Jesus has said to you. He will give you the ability to remember things. He will even put words in your mouth to speak. He just wants you to show up and open your mouth. Do you know how many Sundays I come up here and I'm looking at pages of notes and I ask God this question, okay, Lord, so which way are we going today? Do you realize that that's happening right now? It's a two-way conversation where it's like, do you want me to say that? That sounded really good when I was studying, but right now, I don't know. It seems like that door is closed right now. On Monday, I had the opportunity to speak in front of a group of students over at HSU at the Jolly Giant Commons, that thing, that huge building. First time in that building. Sweet couches in there too. Really nice room. So I went in there And it was just a matter of letting students know that, hey, the spiritual aspect of your life is an important thing. And there's a church that's just like 10, 15 minutes away, and you could just walk right down there. And I, before I was there, will you believe this? Your pastor was nervous? Like nervous, like, what did I was nervous in this sense. I was nervous going, Lord, what do you want me to do for you here today? What do you want me to share with you today? And then there was a moment where a student just became overwhelmed with life right in the middle of that thing and got up and walked away. And the Lord on my heart said, Jim, that's why you're here right there. Because for every one of these students, life is going to become too big for them. And they need to know that I'm available for them. So just go tell them that when they need help, they can always come to me. So I got up there. I didn't, you know, okay, students, if you'd open in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, the 28th chapter. Yeah, right? How would that have turned out, right? Because that wasn't what the Lord wanted me to do. And you know who I was asking for help in a big way? I was asking God for help. You know who specifically I was asking for help? Holy Spirit, give me your words to speak to these students right now. And I just said a few words. I didn't say a whole lot. I think they were really pumped that I didn't spend a lot of time speaking. But I said, listen, there's a church right down the road. We teach the Bible. We love Jesus. And you're welcome to come. Something happened when I said, we love Jesus. It's as if the room, at least from my perspective, the decibel level in the room dropped. Because there was a name that was uttered by which a person can be saved. Jesus. And that's the only name by which a person can be saved. And I just said, hey, you're invited. You're more than welcome. And I said, listen, there's no benefit for you to have your life fall apart on the inside and then to try to put on this face and this cover like everything's going great in your life. If you need help, ask for help. If you see me walking on campus, stop me. I'd love to talk to you, pray with you. My name is Jim, and thanks for coming out tonight. And that was pretty much it. We can get so anxious about the things God wants us to do, but here's the thing. He's also going to tell you what to do when you get there. He's got it all covered. You just have to trust him. Jesus didn't leave you by yourself and be like, hey, here you go into the wild world. Have fun. Hope you don't get killed. He said, I go with you. I give you a helper. So when I walked into that room, somebody else was there with me, the Holy Spirit. When I opened my mouth, it wasn't me speaking. It was God speaking. Because I'm somebody great? Absolutely not, because he's awesome. Listen, wherever you find yourself, whatever situation, you look around and you go, it's just me, God, it's just me. Like all these other people don't know you. No, it's not just you. Did you forget? God's with you. The Holy Spirit is there in the room, right there with you. Ask him for help and he will give you words. And I've experienced this. Sometimes I open my mouth not knowing what I'm going to say next. And he gives me the right words to say. Trust him more. Trust the Holy Spirit. Ask him for help. Humble yourself and ask him for your help, for his help. So God's presence isn't just with you. God wants to be even closer than just with you. He wants to be in you. If you've been coming to the Telios Christian Fellowship for amount of time here, you've seen this picture or this thing that you're going to see on the screen. It's the Holy Spirit experience, if you will. So take a look at this. These are the positions of the Holy Spirit. Biblically speaking, these are the three positions that the Holy Spirit takes in every single person's life. Everybody. Right now, the Holy Spirit is in one of these three positions in a person's life. The first one, the Greek word para. What does it mean? It means with. And in the Bible, you hear about the Holy Spirit is with somebody. That is the position, the Holy Spirit, HS, you. That is what it's like before a person comes to know who Jesus is and before a person asks Jesus Christ into their heart. So for everybody that's not a believer in this world, what the word says is that the Holy Spirit walks with them. Wait, why is God walking with non-believers in this world? Well, how are they going to find out about who God is if somebody doesn't tell them? So for every unbeliever, non-believer in Jesus in this world, the Holy Spirit is walking beside them. Wait, when did he start walking beside them? Before they were born. He has never left them. He is there. What is the Holy Spirit doing? Pointing people to Christ. So my confidence when I talk to somebody who isn't a believer is even when they leave my office, sometimes they go, well, Jim, that's interesting. As you talk about Jesus, that's interesting. I'll think about it. Here's the piece that comes into my heart. When they walk out the door, they don't realize it, but somebody has been walking in with them and is walking out with them. It's the Holy Spirit. Because afterwards, later in their life, later in that day, Maybe for one of those students that I talked to that in that group on Tuesday, maybe at that day, hey, everything's great. I just started college. I got a party I'm going to. Life is great. It's just awesome. But maybe it's going to take a month or two into college. My grades are not looking good. I've run out of money. I feel totally depressed. And then the Holy Spirit, who is right next to them the whole time, says, you remember that pastor that came and talked? Why don't you give him a call? Why don't you head over to that church? Why don't you find that Christian roommate and just go talk to them right now? Who do you think it is that motivates non-believers and encourages them in the right direction? It's the Holy Spirit. So before I came to know who Jesus was in my college years, that's the position the Holy Spirit had with me, walking next to me going, Jim, you know that what I'm saying is true. You know that the word is true. Jim, you know what Jesus is saying is true, don't you? When nobody else was around, I had some pretty clear conversations with God. I'm like, am I talking to myself? I'm not talking to myself. I'm having a conversation, and I didn't know it. It was the Holy Spirit. When you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, which even last Sunday, a few people asked Jesus into your heart, something happened in a change. What happened? The Holy Spirit was no longer with you. The Holy Spirit is in you. Takes up residence within you. A much closer relationship. Why? How did the Holy Spirit get in there? Well, when you ask Jesus into your heart, you ask God into your heart, you open the door. And remember, the Holy Spirit is God. He comes in and he goes, all right, let's make residence here. We just read about how God wants to make a home. He wants to be welcome in the home of your heart. Think about it. When you come into a person's house, do you feel welcomed? Or is it, hey, how are you doing? Yeah, and as you're walking around, they're putting coasters down. Before, like, here's something you can drink. Put a coaster down. Yeah, and they, like, put plastic sheeting down on the floor before you walk. And then you sit down, and they're like, would you mind not sitting on the whole couch, just on the edge of it, you know, because otherwise it kind of squashes the, you know, cushioning. Can you scoot on the... I'm sure you'd be like, I don't feel super welcome here right now. What God is saying is, make your heart a welcoming place for God to come in. Be like, hey, God, come on in. Place is kind of a mess. But here, take the couch. Grab a seat. That's my favorite. Here, you grab a seat. You kick your chair. Here's an ottoman. Put your feet up right on there. That's right. What would you like to do? You know, can I get you something? That's what God wants for a person is, hey, open the door of your heart, but let him into your heart. Like, let him in. Because when he comes in, he'll make his home in your life, and then he'll fix you from the inside out. But he can't fix you from the inside out if he's not welcomed in. When a person becomes a believer, something miraculous happens. God comes into their life. The Greek word en, in. But, okay, so good. God's in my life. That's enough. There's a third position the Holy Spirit can have in a person's life. And I pray for this before every time that I teach. And maybe you've heard people say this, God, fall upon me. God, I need your presence to surround me. Holy Spirit, I need your power. You know what they're asking for? They're asking for the Greek word epi, which means upon. They're not just saying, Holy Spirit, you're in me. They're saying, I need you to consume me. I need you to take over. Like on an autopilot switch. I want to hit the autopilot switch and I want you then to just do what you want to do with my life. The decisions that I make in my life, I want you to be the one who determines what I do. And it was with this epi power, this Holy Spirit encompassing, surrounding you, that is how somebody like Peter, 40 days, 50 days after Jesus has ascended into heaven, how he shares the word of God so powerfully that 3,000 people come to know Jesus Christ. Was that Peter that did that? No. You remember Peter, okay? It wasn't Peter that did it. Who did it in Peter? The Holy Spirit as he came upon Peter. Was it out of control and crazy? No, because God does things in order and correctly. But there is a supernatural power that comes. The fact that anybody gets saved when I teach the Bible is a miracle. Because I know me. If God is going to do anything great through you and you see the Lord just have an encouraging word for somebody and you're like, wow, where did that come from? That's God's power upon your life. And did you know this? You can pray and ask God, hey, Lord, could you do that for me again? Hey, God, I'm walking into this test. I'm really stressed. I just need your Holy Spirit to be upon me. God, I'm walking into a very tense, potentially tense conversation with a friend. I might even lose a friendship over this one, but I got to speak the truth. I can't do this. You know what? You're totally right. You can't do it yourself. You need more power. Where do you get that from? The helper, the Holy Spirit. God, I need your help. I need your power to have the right words to say. And you've heard this prayer from me up front here. God, give me the words to speak. And God, give me the words. Don't let me say the words I shouldn't say. Sometimes for me, that's the more important part of the conversation. God has told me to shut up more times than I could tell you in my life. Because I think about something in my head, I'm like, oh, I'm going to roast you with, and God's like, don't you dare. But I'm so right. And God's like, not the point. And by the way, you're wrong. We all need God's Holy Spirit in our life. We need more power. We need more power to overcome the challenges that we have in this life. Otherwise, this world is going to eat you up. The sorrow in this world, the challenges of this world. Let's read a few more verses. We're just about done with this chapter here. Verse 28. Jesus said, you heard me say, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. Yes, as in a father to son relationship, the Father is greater than the Son. Verse 29. And now I have told you before it takes place so that when it takes place, you may believe. Jesus is telling them ahead of time something in the future. So when the future event happens, they can look back and it confirms to them that it was God who was doing it. Do you remember times in your life where God put something on your heart and you're like, I'm not going to tell anybody else about this. And then something comes true and you go, Lord, that was you. There are things that the Lord has put into my heart for this church. Jim, what is it? Some of those things I can't tell you. Oh, come on. Here's why. There's certain things the Lord has put on my heart that may never happen. And here's why. It may not be the Lord that put it on my heart. Maybe it's just me. How do I determine what's true and what's not true? Well, let's let some time go by and see what God does. And if it comes true, if God fulfills his promise, because he always fulfills his promises, then I'll know that it was the Lord that did it. Maybe there's something in your life you don't need to tell anybody else about, but you just need to go, Lord, this is something between you and I. It happened with Mary. When Jesus was born, the shepherds came in. They had heard the angels tell him, glory to God in the highest, and told him about Jesus and who he was. Well, the shepherds come into the manger. There's Joseph, there's Mary, there's Jesus. And in the Bible, it says that Mary hid those words in her heart and pondered what they meant. She didn't say to anybody anything. She just listened and thought, Lord, I wonder what's going to come of that. Maybe God's put some hope in your heart. Pray about it. Let the Lord continue to work it out. But remember this, God always, always keeps his promises, always. Let's keep reading here. Two more verses. I will no longer talk much with you. It's coming close. In less than 24 hours, he's going to be dead. For the ruler of this world is coming. This all sounds bad, but then look at this. He has no claim on me. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. Those words are an assurance to us that Satan didn't push Jesus to the cross. Jesus chose to go to the cross. He chose, willfully chose to go and die for the people of this world. Open invitation. And as we think about this, and as we think about all that Jesus did here, because the pace of what we're seeing here in John now, they're going to go out in the next few chapters here. He's going to be betrayed by Judas. He's going to be arrested. He's going to go through mock trials. And then he's going to suffer and die. And all of this in less than a 24-hour period are going to happen. What Jesus did here, either Jesus is absolutely true or he is a complete liar. Jesus does not leave room for a person to say, oh, he's a good guy that I respect. Jesus isn't looking for respect, he's looking for obedience. Jesus is not looking for somebody to be his fan, shaking a pennant and going, go Jesus, yay, he's looking for followers. So in a very practical way here, in your life, there's many things that we can't do ourselves in our own strength. Those are the limitations we as human beings have. We can't do everything. We don't have all the words to say. We don't have all the encouragement. We don't have all the strength to do things. But there is a helper, the Holy Spirit, who wants to come upon you. And you just have to ask him. You just have to ask him for help. You have to humble yourself and ask him for help. Because here's the question I have for you. What can't God do in your life? Think about that for just a moment. What can't he do in your life? I wrote a few questions down. Who can't you forgive if God's going to help you? Who can't you forgive? Keep in mind, he forgave you. who can't you forgive? If God's going to be there with you and help you, who can't you forgive? If you let the Holy Spirit come upon you and help you, what can't you do for him? Oh, I can't do that thing for God. You can't or you won't. You can't or you don't want to. Well, I don't feel like I have the strength to do it. You're right. But do you believe God has the ability to do it through you? That's the real question. Here's another question. What are you too afraid to say if God gives you the strength to say it? Some of us are terrified. I mean terrified chicken to do some things for God. And here's the thing. It's because you're looking at your limited ability to do it. If you look at God's ability to do it through you, all of a sudden that goes away and you go, hey, when I was asked to speak in front of those students, I found this out about myself. I, Jim Thomas, need to say yes quickly before I somehow rationalize saying no. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You hear something and you go, there's nothing biblically wrong about me doing this or that. And there's nothing scripturally wrong. Sure, I could do that, but I don't know if I can. Guess what you need to say very quickly? Yes. You need to commit to it. They need to put your name down. And then you can freak out. But guess what? You've just committed. So something dies. And you know what dies? That voice that goes, no, don't say anything. Don't say, oh, you said something. Fine, I'm out of here. You need to say yes to the Lord in faith, trusting that he's going to work through your life before you rationalize saying no. Because let me tell you, I can justify in my own mind saying no to a whole bunch of things. Jim, there's this church in Arcata. Where? California. No. 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 God, you and I had an agreement. I told you I'm never moving to California. So, no. It's in Humboldt County. What's Humboldt County all about? Oh, really? No. Sorry, I got four young kids. No. Not going there. Not going to Humboldt County. No. You're going to be the senior pastor. No. You're going to teach. No. If all of those, that would have been my answer if it was just me looking at what I have to offer. But the moment I stop and say, Holy Spirit, come upon me. God, what could you do through my life? And all of a sudden I start to hear, yes, yes, yes. Jim, go speak at some evangelistic concert that's happening up in Brookings, Oregon, 2 weeks ago. Evangelist? That's not really my primary calling. So you know what in my mind? I'm like, oh, no, no, no. And you know what I heard the Holy Spirit go? Yes, 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 yes. So right there on the phone, you bet. Yep, just put me in. Just put me in. I hung up. I was like, why did I say yes? And I said yes so that I wouldn't chicken out because of my inadequacies and walk away. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through myself? No. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And one last verse I leave you with this morning. God is your helper. Remember that this morning. Psalm 54:4, behold, God is my helper, the upholder of my life. You need help in your life? Jesus already knew you did. He already called for backup before you were born. He knew you needed it. The Holy Spirit is available for you. But he's just walking alongside of you if you aren't a believer. To have God working in your life and through your life, you need to invite him in. So this morning, if you're a believer, even if you're not a believer, I have to ask you this question. What are you struggling with that you haven't asked God to help you with yet? You're just prideful. It's like your truck is stuck and there's a bush right there and you don't know how to get out and you're too prideful to ask for help. So you're going to sit there and just spin your tires and dig a deeper hole because you're too prideful to ask for help. Will you still be stuck in your life by the end of this teaching? And here's the thing. The answer is it's up to you. It is up to you because Jesus has made himself available and he said the Holy Spirit is available to you. He wants to come into your life and he wants to help you, but he will never break down the door of your life. You must ask him yourself and open the door from the inside. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. As our worship team comes up, I just want you to consider those words. God is your helper and he is the upholder of your life. Jesus says that he does not leave us as orphans, but that he will come to us. Jesus cares about you, and he loves you. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, you too can rise from the dead in eternal life. You've heard these words, and in your heart, you know, because the Holy Spirit's been walking with you, you know that those words are true. Then I ask you this morning, are you willing to open the door of your heart from the inside? Are you willing to let him into your life? You could listen to this on the internet later, or listen on the radio right now, or you could be right here in this little building in the corner of L and 16th Street. But Christ is available for you. If you'd like to ask Jesus Christ into your heart, you want to be changed. You want to become a Christian. You don't want to just look at Jesus as a good man or a good teacher. You want to follow him. You realize that he demands obedience. And you're ready to submit your will to God's will. Then just pray this prayer to God. Lord, I need you. God, I can't do this by myself. God, I need you to forgive me. I humble myself and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I humble myself and say that I can't figure this out by myself. Jesus, I believe that you are God. I believe that you were born, you died, and you rose again. I believe you forgave me of all of my sins. Jesus, I believe what you said about the Holy Spirit. And I thank you that the Holy Spirit isn't walking with me anymore, but he's within me. God, I ask that you would fix me from the inside out, that you would help me with what I struggle with, that you would help me be a blessing to people around me. God, give me the power that I need to walk straight with you in this life, to walk powerfully with you in this life, to be a blessing to other people in this life. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we come before you as a church body. And Father, we also say, Lord, we need your help. Each one of us is working through something in our life right now, right now. Maybe it's relational or financial, something to do with our health. God, you know exactly what the issues are, and you also know that without you, it's too much. Holy Spirit, we ask you, each one of us individually makes this request. We ask that you would please come upon us in the area of our need, that you would come upon us with power and wisdom and understanding beyond us to help us move forward in our life. Lord, thank you that you not only hear prayer, but Lord, you hear and you answer. God, I pray that you would use this group of people before me to change this community and to turn it upside down for you. The number of people that everyone here can touch, Lord, is so great. Jesus, you said that greater works would be done after you left than while you were here. And Lord, the number of people that have been reached for Christ is amazing. But Lord, there are many more that need to know you personally. I pray for family members, coworkers, professors, students. I pray for people that we just see passing by around town. Lord, give us eyes to see them, hearts that are soft to pray for them, a smile for people who don't even have a smile. They are so sorrowful that they can't even put on a smile. Lord, that we would be a smile for them and that we would be an example of the joy of Christ. God, I pray that you would make the people of this community thirsty for you. And so, Lord, if people need to hit the bottom so that they could realize that they can't do it themselves, then, Lord, I pray that they would have a realistic view of who they truly are. Lord, show people their need for you. Lord, we thank you for meeting us this morning. We love you. We worship you now in Jesus' name. Amen.